I guess maybe in three nights and having two men, it's hard to get everything out that needs to be said. And just as your pastor, I want to kind of study this together and go over faith promise missions and what it is and why we practice it. And trusting that the Lord will really, really just shore it up back in our hearts as we get ready to take up our new commitments today. I'm praying that the Lord will bless us and give us everything that we need in the upcoming year to keep our church commitments and then to be able to even do more as the Lord increases it, okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Tony, it's good to see you. We're praying for you. Continue to pray for Brother Johnny. Good to see Sister Emily. Able to be here again this morning. Continue to pray for her. Sister Bonnie, Sister Valley. My wife's doing better. We thank the Lord for that. Remember the Kellers? They're going out of town to Florida. I think one of their children's getting married on tomorrow down in Key West. So pray for them as they travel. They'll be back on Wednesday. All right? Trying to think. Somebody, there's another request I was going to mention. Anybody got anything real quick? Anything at all? All right. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Your granddaughter. All right. Remember that. Okay. She's been asking us to pray for her aunt. Do pray for them. Sister Marie's family. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Good to see y'all this morning. Glad you're here. Anybody else? All righty. Brother Jerry, pray for us, if you will, and we'll get started. Amen. Thank you, brother. 2 Corinthians 8, you can stay seated. I want to read several verses, beginning verse number 1. The Bible said, "Moreover, brethren, we do you the will of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." We'll leave off our reading there. We'll outline these verses and give you some truth this morning. In the context of chapter 7, if we back up and deal with chapter number 7, you'll find that Paul begins to praise the church at Corinth. He deals with some things, and in fact, if you look back, he talked about how that he had great boldness toward them. In verse 4, "Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation." And these first 7 chapters that Paul is writing the church at Corinth in this second letter is very commending. It's very exhortive. He's bragging on them. And in fact, he had already sent the first letter, and y'all remember, he had about five verses of good things to say in chapter number one, and the rest of that letter is basically Paul saying you're out of sorts, you don't know what you're doing, you need to get right with God and straighten the mess out in your church. And Titus had carried that letter back. They had repented and had godly sorrow and dealt with those issues, and now Paul is writing back to them saying, we're hearing about how you've changed, we're hearing about how you've repented, and now we've got great boastings of you, we glory in you that you took the word of God that we delivered to you and the counsel we give, and you've changed. And he said, now we're glorying. In fact, we're in tribulation, but we're thinking of how that you have responded to the word of God being delivered to you, and it brings us comfort in our time of tribulation. He talks about in verse number 9, now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance, for you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. And I go on down in here, and he talks about verse 14, for if I boasted anything to him of you, speaking of Titus, I am not ashamed, but as we spake all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found a truth. And so Paul said, we're not lied, and the boastings that we've had, we're confident, and as we wrote to you, you would respond, you have responded, you've changed, godly sorrows worked repentance, and Paul is bragging on them in chapter number 7. Now notice with me in the verse we began with, chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren. Now what is he saying? He's just been bragging on them and how they've changed, how they've responded, how they're doing well, how that things are beginning to fall back in line and back in order in the church at Corinth. But the word moreover, I believe Paul is saying that though they had come a long way, he's reminding them there's still things you need to take care of. And can I just say in passing, it'd be good preaching right here. You can get some things nailed down today, but there's always going to be a moreover. There's always something else to grow in. There's always something else to step it up in. There's always something else to address in our life. And so Paul says, moreover, brethren, you've done well with these things, but there's some other things that we've got to cover over that you need to take care of. In chapter number 8, chapter number 9, and specifically in chapters, and even to some degree chapter 10, we find Paul's instruction in the matter of giving financially, specifically to the cause of propagating the gospel. He's going to reference it. We read it in our verses this morning, and you'll find it throughout them chapters. He deals with the ministering to the saints, and what he's talking about is his ministry in planting churches, establishing churches, and establishing local assemblies, and how that the churches of Macedonia gave, and we'll deal with them in a moment, how they had gave to Paul's ministering to the saints. Brother Mark, he was able to go establish churches because there were people that financially backed him in his ministry, and he's writing the church at Corinth saying, moreover, brethren, here's the matter, one of the matters that he's going to deal with, that they need to step it up and take care of. Notice this giving has come to be known by many terms, and actually the biblical term in our passage of Scripture, I think, would be grace giving, and I'll deal with that in just a moment. The term that we've come to use in our day, in our circles, is faith, promise, missions, giving. And that deals with the very offerings and the very gifts that Paul is talking to and writing the church at Corinth about, that they needed to take care of. They needed to take care of giving toward the cause of propagating gospel, as Paul would go out, and even others, Apollos and some of these other men that were establishing churches in Paul's day. And notice with me, let's look at the term faith, promise, mission. Just by way of introduction, I'll give you my thought and some truths out of this passage. Think about faith, promise, missions. Faith, promise, missions. Now let me say this, it's not a New Testament term. but it is a New Testament principle. All right? Somebody said, well, I ain't going to be involved in it because faith promise missions ain't a, it ain't in the Bible. Well, it ain't in the Bible by term, but it is by principle. And it's very biblical principle. Think about it this morning. Number one, faith promise missions giving. Think about missions giving. You say, preacher, what does missions mean? This is the cause for which we give this specific offering, that of reaching sinners. That is our job. Jesus said to the church, the established, go into all the world and preach the gospel. We've got a job to do. Our job is to get the gospel out. Now, obviously, we can't go everywhere. I can't go everywhere. Calvary Baptist Tabernacle, ourself, can't reach all the world from right here in Newport, Tennessee, in a physical sense. So how are we going to go into all the world? God sends and calls and raises up missionaries to go to different places and different locations, such as he did Paul and as he did in the life of Peter, and he did in the early church with men that he'd raise up and send out of those churches. And the way that we go is we financially back them and give toward the expenses. The gospel is free, and we thank God the gospel's free. You don't buy the gospel, but my friend, it does take money to get the gospel out and to get the free message out. And so when we think about faith promise missions giving, that is the cause. Missions is the cause. It don't go, faith promise missions giving doesn't go to keep the lights on at the church. It doesn't go to keep the pews padded. It doesn't go, we don't give it for the sake of paying the pastor. It's given for the cause of reaching sinners. Think about this. Faith promise missions given. Think of the word promise in this term. Promise, I think, is God's part in reassuring us that he will give through us what he will not give to us. When you study Paul's writing, and we will to some degree, these at least 12 verses, we'll try to get to it, but chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10, you can study Philippians chapter number 4, and over, Paul begins to talk about that God is going to bless you. In fact, look with me in chapter number 9. Let me give you this. I seen it afresh and anew again this morning. The Bible said, verse number 8, in God, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness which calls you through us thanksgiving to God. What Paul is saying, when you begin to give in the aspect of missions giving, that God has obligated himself through promise that he's going to take care of your needs. You're going to abound not just financially, and even more so than financially, you're going to abound in righteousness. You're going to abound in blessings that God is going to bestow upon you and your family and your local church, to the point that you're going to begin to thank God. You're going to be giving thanks to God because of how God blesses you and how God keeps his promise to those that give toward the cause of missions. Faith promise missions. Faith. You say, preacher, missions is the cause. The promise is God's part in reassuring us he's going to give through me what he will not give to me. How does all this come about? It comes about through faith. Faith, promise, mission given. Faith is our part in trusting God to supply us with the means to give. The just shall live by his faith. Over and over, the Word of God instructs you in that about the matter of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I go on and on all morning about faith and the role that faith plays in the life of the believer. You will have to manifest faith in the matter of giving. The reason many folk don't give and struggle with giving, even tithes and offerings, and especially missions giving, is they lack faith to trust God that God will supply them with the necessary means that they could give. You say, "Preacher, I can't afford to give. I can't afford. I'm doing all I can. I put my $5 in. But preacher, I can't tithe. I can't give offering. I can't give to missions. You just don't understand. I don't have it." Well, let me say, I believe we have a God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. My old granddaddy used to say, he owns the cattle on the hills, he owns the hills, and he owns the taters under the hills. He owns it all. And the God that I serve and the God that you serve is a God that we can trust to bless us with the means that you and I might be able to give. And so I believe if you'll believe God and trust God, that God will indeed keep his promise that you and I might be able to give. Now, that don't mean that every blessing he gives we run out and we squander it on selfish desires. All right? God probably gives us more than we realize that we could be involved in this matter of giving, but we're too selfish. We don't have enough faith to say, "God, I believe that you gave me this, so I could invest it back in the work of God, specifically the cause of mission and reaching sinners. And in doing so, God, you will bless me personally somewhere down the road." And I'm not telling you I've always been what I ought to be in the matter of giving. But I had a young man this week. He is infatuated with my truck. And he said, "Man, Brother Jeff probably lives in a mansion. I see the truck he drives," and he's going on about this truck. And I like my truck, and I like my truck a lot. But I told him, I said, "Man, I have learned to put God first, work hard, and labor. And if you'll honor God and work hard, you can have a truck just like that if you want." And God blesses that. God honors giving. And faith, promise, mission, giving. You want to get the blessings of God to flow on your life. And I'm not preaching a charismatic doctrine day. I'm not telling you if you give and you get involved in this and sow seeds, it's all going to come back and you're going to be a millionaire. That ain't what we're preaching. That ain't what Paul is dealing with. But what we are saying is God will make sure you have everything you need to give. And as you give, God will bring it back to you. And there will be some personal blessings on your life. Let me reference this in chapter number 8. Notice with me that these verses deal with in about this giving, references this giving as grace. Notice with me in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, we do you the will of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." Notice with me in verse number 6, "Insomuch that we desire Titus, and as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also." Look with me again in verse number 7. "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also." Let me make a comment about verse number 7. Do you understand what Paul is saying to the church at Corinth? He's saying, "You have abounded in all things." He said, "You have abounded in everything." Is that what he said? "Therefore, as you abound in everything," he deals with and makes mention of some specific things. He said, "In faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us." You know what he's saying? He's saying, "You have everything you need. God has blessed you, and you have abounded in everything. As a church, you have everything you need to do the work of God." And yet, what did they lack? That Paul said, "There's one thing you need to abound in, and that was in this grace." What grace? The grace of giving. And can I put it this way? Corinth was a church that had everything but gave nothing. And at Calvary, may that never be our testimony. I'm thankful God has given our church everything. God has given us everything we need to carry out the work of God. The lights are on, the bills are paid, there's money in the bank. And thank God he has give us everything, unity and power and the Spirit of God and good services and a good choir and a good piano player and good servants of the Lord. We have abounded in everything, and yet Paul said you can have everything as a church and not give anything and be in jeopardy of being robbed of some of the blessings of God. Am I making sense this morning? He said you need to abound in this grace also. He mentions it again in verse number 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he deals with grace. This grace in this chapter and in these chapters that he deals with is defined as absolute freeness of the loving kindness of God to men. So what is Paul saying? I think that if we was to deal with this, we'd find that this word finds its only motive in the bounty and free-heartedness of the giver. And so Paul is saying, grace, I do you the will of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. You've abounded in everything, in faith, in knowledge, in utterance, all diligence, and your love toward me as the man of God. See that you abound in this grace also. What he's telling them is that your giving is a reflection of God's love to sinners. We talk about, I hear folks say all the time, I'm not arguing, I'm not debating whether they do or not, but I do have a gauge that we can get and put on our lives as individuals. You hear people say, well, I love sinners, I want sinners to be saved. The gauge of that is the grace of God manifest in my life will be reflected in my giving toward that crowd that God loves. And let me say this, amen, this matter of finding this grace finds its only motive in the bounty and free-heartedness of the giver. I'm to be free-hearted in my giving. I'm to be motivated by the same love God has toward this world if I'm to be involved in Faith Promise missions. Amen. If we're loving the world like God loves the world, I give you this verse this week in meeting, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. The fact that we love is always manifested in what we give. Now that don't mean you got to give as much as I do, or I got to give as much as you do. But it does mean that if I'm loving sinners, I'm letting God work in my heart and work in my life. I'm trusting God in his promise toward the cause of getting the gospel out. I am motivated and am glad to do so in getting involved in this. And so understand, this grace is a ministry of God working through us to get the gospel to the lost, whether it be in knocking doors or giving in the matter of missions giving. This grace is, my friend, God, the ministry of God working through me to get the gospel lost. It's manifest in many ways, of which our giving is one of the greatest. We ought to be giving, we ought to be giving, we ought to be giving toward the cause of reaching sinners. We took on Brother Pridmore this week. We took on Brother Alan Davis this week, a missionary to Haiti, a missionary to the state of California. Church planters, going to do a great work, but how are they going to get there? They're going to get there by churches, by individual church members working together with their local church and every other member of that body, saying, I'll do my part, I'll give my part. I'm interested in sinners in Chester, California, and I'm interested in the Haitians getting the gospel and having an opportunity to get saved and letting God work through me in ministering grace through my life, through my giving. And so I want to deal with this thought for just a moment this morning, the grace of giving. The grace of giving. Ain't you thankful? Now listen to what I'm going to say. Ain't you thankful for the grace of God in your life? For by grace are you saved. Amen. It's all about grace. I'm saved today because of grace. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And so I'm thankful for the grace of God. I'm saved today. My family's together today because of the grace of God. My children are getting saved. My wife's been saved because of the grace of God. Our church has experienced the blessings of God because of the grace of God. Prayers have been answered. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne throne of grace. And thank God for grace of God that's in the matter of prayer. We could go on and on. Every aspect of your Christian life is rooted and grounded in the grace of God. God giving you what you don't deserve. Thank God for the grace of God. Now, the grace of giving is me taking the grace that's been given to me and letting God channel that through me to get that same grace to others. Now, the grace of giving, notice with me in this matter of giving and the grace of giving, I see the exhortation in verses 1 through 7, the exhortation for the grace of giving. Paul is writing the church at Corinth. He said, you got everything. You've abounded in everything, but you're lacking in the matter of this of abounding in this grace of giving. And so what does he do? He exhorts them by reminding them of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. And Brother Ellis did a good job, especially on Monday night, talking about the churches of Macedonia. They were poor people. They weren't anything like the church at Corinth. Where the church at Corinth had abounded in everything, the churches of Macedonia were poor people. They didn't have great crowds. They didn't have great abilities. They didn't have great talents. They were, can I put it this way? They were common country folk that did not have a whole lot to offer. But what did they do? They had tasted and found the grace of God to be sufficient to save them, and the grace of God had been real to them. And so what did they do? They turned around and they administered that grace through the ministry of the Apostle Paul as a missionary, evangelist, church planter, and the grace of God was poured out upon them the more. And so Paul is writing to a church and he said, you have everything. You've abounded in everything. You have everything you need and more to do the work of God. But I want you to consider there's other churches that don't have half as much as you have, and they have gave twice as much in what you've given, and the grace of God has abounded upon their ministry. What is he doing? He's using the churches of Macedonia to exhort the church at Corinth to get involved in the matter of missions given. Am I making sense? And so he said, you need to open your eyes and look and consider that you ain't the only church in the world. You ain't the only crowd. You think you've got it all nailed down and you're so great and you're the cream of the crop and God's gift in the church realm. He said, what you need to do is understand there's a bunch of no-name nobodies with nothing to give that have given everything, and you need to consider that the grace of God has been poured out upon them. Amen. And Paul, what's he doing? He's exhorting them in the matter of grace giving. Otis said the exhortation, Paul, the church at Corinth, in this grace, it's rooted in this testimony of how the Macedonians gave. Otis with me, number one, they gave cheerfully. The Bible said in verse number 2, and again, I'll not take a lot of time on this verse. Dr. Ellis covered it well. But he said how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. Amen. That blows our excuse out that I can't afford to give. Paul is saying you need to be exhorted in the matter of grace giving, the grace of giving, understanding there are people that don't have it to give and are in tribulation and affliction and in deep poverty, not just poor, but deep poverty. You ever heard some old timers say, I didn't grow up poor, poor, P-O-O-R, but I grew up with several O's kind of poor. Amen. You know what they're saying? They grew up in deep poverty. Deep poverty. And Paul said at this crowd, the churches of Macedonia, they were suffering for their faith. They were in deep poverty. They didn't have much, but everything they had, they gave it, and they gave it cheerfully. He talks about their joy. He talks about they had affliction, but they had joy. They had deep poverty, but they're rejoicing at what they do have. They're able to give it, and the gospel can go out. And I say we ought to give, we ought to be exhorted to give cheerfully. In fact, look in chapter 9, he's still writing about the grace of giving. In chapter 9 and verse number 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. I need verse number 7 is what I'm looking for. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. That's exactly how the churches of Macedonia gave. They didn't give, amen, they didn't give their dollar in the offering plate, squeezing it and holding on to it. Amen. One old timer said Baptists are the only people he knew that could squeeze a booger out of George Washington's nose. Come on now. Amen. What is that? We give without joy. We give without cheer. And Paul said the church at Corinth, you need to give like they gave. And they gave with joy and cheer and being excited about it. Notice with me, they not only gave cheerfully, but verse 2 and 3, they gave liberally. They gave liberally. Have that in a great trial of affliction, and deep the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their what? Their liberality, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. And so Paul is saying they gave liberally. There was a liberalness in their giving. Amen. I like what Dr. Ellis said. Amen. We can't be liberals in our convictions. We can't be liberals in our stand on the King James Bible. We can't be liberal in our old time worship, but we can be liberal in our giving. And so he said that their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. They gave to their power. They gave what they could afford to give, and then they gave more. They gave what they could afford to give, and then they gave more. That is true liberal giving. They gave cheerfully. They gave liberally. They gave willingly. Verse 3 said, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Verse 4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And so they gave willingly. They gave cheerfully. They gave liberally. Listen, ain't nobody can make you give anything. Amen. Somebody said, well, Baptists and Baptist preachers, all they're interested in is money. They just want to make you give and make you, can't nobody make you give. Now, we can make you feel bad for not giving, but we can't make you give. Somebody say amen. Amen. You won't feel that way if there's a willingness in your heart to say, you know what, I will willingly be involved in this matter of giving. And notice with me, they not only gave cheerfully and liberally and willfully, but they gave heartily. And I believe this is where it all comes down in verse number 5. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. And we go on down through verse 7, but literally Paul is saying, I'll tell you why they gave cheerfully. I'll tell you why they gave liberally. I'll tell you why they gave willingly, is because they had given themselves first. They had put their heart in the offering plate before their money ever followed. And can I say that's how we give? We give heartily. We give ourselves first, and then our money follows. That's what we tried to preach last Sunday night. And Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Your heart affects how you give. And an old selfish, stubborn, selfish heart is not going to give toward getting the gospel out. They gave heartily. Notice the exhortation for the grace of giving, the testimony of the Macedonians. Notice with me the example for the grace of giving. Paul goes beyond just exhorting them through the testimony of the Macedonians. Look in verse 8 and 9. He said, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. And if you'll understand this, we'll not take all the time to develop it, but this church had over a year prior to Paul writing what he's writing, had said, yeah, we love sinners. We love the Apostle Paul. We love the gospel. We want to get the gospel out. We'll get involved. The churches of Macedonia gave, or Paul's going down there, and Paul went down there, told the Macedonians, the Corinthians said they're going to give, and the Macedonians said, well, if they're going to give, we're going to give, gave cheerfully, gave willingly, gave liberally, gave heartily, and gave right there on the spot. And that's been over a year, and the crowd that said, we love sinners, we love sinners, we love people, had gave nothing to the cause of Christ. Paul said, I hear what you said, but your giving actually proves the sincerity of the love that you say you have. One thing to say it, it's another thing to show it. So what does he say? What is the example he gives of the sincerity of our love? Notice with me one of the great verses of the Bible. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. What is he saying? But Gerald, he's saying, here's the example. You say you love sinners. You say, now you need to prove the sincerity of your love. And he reaches back and he said, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, how that he left all the splendors of heaven. He left all the riches of glory. He left everything behind in heaven and was wrapped in human flesh, lived in this life, and had not but a stone to make his pillow, had no house. The foxes have dens, and the birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man had not where to lay his head. He lived a stranger here and there, had no home of his own, had no new car of his own, had no big Ford F-250 of his own to drive around in. He became poor. Why? That you and I might be made rich. Amen. Now, I'm not preaching that we got to live poor and hold signs and be beggars. That's a bad testimony. If you're a saved child of God, that's a bad testimony. You ought to work hard, provide for your family, and let God bless your life. But listen to me, when things become more important to us than the mission, than the cause, when things take preeminence over the cause, there's a problem wrong in our heart. And Paul is saying, you need to follow the example of the Lord Jesus. You need to consider that he was willing to give up everything and become poor, that you who were poor might be made rich. And can I say, that's what happens when we get involved in missions giving. We're sacrificing, we're giving, we're trusting God, and he'll bless us and give through us what he won't give to us, that sinners can be saved, and that, my friend, that those that are poor out there, God can take our sacrifice and take that which we give, and he can take it, and those that are poor toward God can have the gospel preached to them, that they can be made rich toward God. I say, thank God Christ was willing to give it all. Thank God he was willing to give up everything so that I could have a chance to have the gospel preached to me and receive it and be saved and be made rich in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God he did it, and thank God somebody along the way gave of tithes and offerings and missions given. The lights was on, the church was kept open, and the gospel was able to be preached to me one day. Listen, why? Because somebody followed the example of the Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and was willing to say, I'll do my part in giving that others can be saved. Are you with me this morning? Give like Jesus. The ministry to reaching sinners, do it like Jesus did. Give of yourself. Give of your finances. Give of that which God has blessed you. And can I remind you, everything we have belongs to God. Everything I have belongs to God. And I thank God he's given me things to enjoy in life. And what a statement Brother Ellis made the other night. We're not talking about, listen, a man ought to take care of his family. We're not talking about giving to the point where you can't put clothes on your children's back. Now, if God tells you to give something, you can take it to the bank, you can put it in, and God will make sure your needs are met. But we're not talking about your family suffering. Are you listening? I ain't giving. I think Dr. Ellis worded it something like, we're not talking about giving where you can't afford to go down to McDonald's and buy your youngins a hamburger every now and then. Might as well say, man, I believe in that, but we ought to give, we ought to sacrifice and do our part. And Dr. Ellis covered that well in verse 14, talking about the equality in the giving. Not in the amount of our giving, but in the sacrifice of our giving. I give what God has blessed me and instructed me and purposed in my heart to give, and you do the same, and then the sacrifice brings an equality in getting the gospel out in church. The example, the exhortation, but notice the expediency of the grace of giving. In verses 10, 11, and 12, he said, and herein I give my advice, for this is what? This is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Again, they had promised over a year prior to Paul pinning this down, that they was going to give, that they was going to help get the gospel out and see churches planted, the ministering of the saints performed, and yet they had failed. They had failed in doing it. I believe probably when they said it, they meant it. I believe when they said it, there was something on the inside, and they said, you know what, we really intend to do this, but it had been a year had passed, over 365 days had passed, and they had yet to send not one offering to the Apostle Paul. Why? Because they lacked expediency. They were putting off for over a year doing what they should have done when they said they was going to do it. These verses revealed the Church of Corinth had been intending to be involved in this matter of grace giving, but had put it off for over a year. And Paul declares in this word expedient, which means to be advantageous, it means to hasten or to urge forward. What he is saying, you need to get urgent about this thing. And I say, we are closer than we've ever been. This ain't deep, but we're closer right now this morning than we've ever been to the coming of the Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, say not that there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. He said, you need to look on the fields right now, for they are already white unto harvest. He said one time to his disciples, he said, what work you're going to do, you better do while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Can I say, in the grace age, and that's what we believe we're in, this church age is the grace age, age of grace, that the sun is setting on this dispensation of time. And what we're going to do, we better do. What we're going to give, we better give. And if we're going to do so and give so, we must do so with expediency, with urgency, with understanding that, my friend, the day is coming when all the offerings will be collected. All the things we're going to do will have been done, and we'll stand before the Lord and give an account for our part and our role in the matter of the work of God and in the matter of grace given. Amen. I fear that many of us, and I'll include myself, going to be in trouble on that day for not doing more than we've done, not having an urgency about it, living selfishly, living for what we could gain out of life more than we were trying to get the gospel to sinners. Can I say the way we correct that is we're exhorted by the testimony of the Macedonians. We're encouraged by the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we fall on our face and say, Lord, help me to be expedient, not just be filled with good intentions, but to be expedient in every matter of my Christian life, especially in the matter of giving. Now, this morning, we'll take up our faith promise cards. Have I made sense this morning? Just, all right, some of y'all look confused. You look worse than you did Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday night. I hope I ain't made it worse. But we ought to be given now. We ought to be given. We'll be taking up the cards. And the Bible said is that as a man purposeth in his heart, so let him give. And I'll say more about that in the morning service, but it's between you and God. You got to let God work in your heart and tell you what he wants you to give. There's other ways maybe that we could do this. We believe this lines up as close with 2 Corinthians 8, 9, and a portion of chapter number 10, the matter of faith, promise, mission, giving. And so let's be praying here for the next little while as we go through the service. I trust maybe you've already got an answer from the Lord. I know I do on what we're supposed to be giving. But if you're unsure about it or you've been wrestling with it, the Lord has told you what to give, and you're going, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do that. Let the Lord give you that promise in your heart that he's going to take care of it. All right, Father, we love you. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us this morning. Lord, we're excited about what you're doing in our church. We're excited about the Word of God. We're excited about sinners getting saved. We're excited today about the missionaries that you've allowed this church to support, some for many years, Lord, some just recently taking on, but Lord, men and families that are doing the work of God, establishing churches, seeing sinners saved and baptized and indoctrinated with the doctrines of the Lord Jesus. Father, we're excited about that this morning. I pray that it would be reflected in our giving and, Lord, in our sacrifices that we make, Lord, the continued support of these men and families. And Lord, I do ask you now this morning that you bless our church. You know, Lord, kind of what we have in our heart that we'd like to see. And, Lord, we know that we've got a lot of commitments to men and families already. And, Lord, there's other things we desire to do. And so, Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, allow each of us to be touched by God in our heart, Lord, to do our part that, Lord, the need might be met. Father, all that you do for us, we'll thank you. Bless the morning service. Touch the choir. Put a spirit of worship on this place. Touch Brother Justin as he preaches in a little while. And, Lord, I pray everything that's done here today would bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. All you do for us, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, take a few minutes and fellowship. Run the bathroom, and we will...